This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
1:08, Chad Hartman, Adam Carter, Dan Cook, Shaletta will join us in a matter of minutes. We still have good stuff coming your way. Podcasts available with our show. A little bit different. We're still dealing with a minor computer issue, and everybody deals with those. So our podcasts are now just taking a smidge longer to become available. But we love when people are kind enough to, number one, listen to the show, take some time, whether you like it or disagree. That just comes with the territory. But if you want to podcast the show, WCCORadio.com/Chad. I believe this is my first time when I've had a chance to chat with the mayor of St. Paul. Mayor Melvin Carter is kind enough to join us on the show. Melvin, thanks for coming on. I appreciate the time, sir.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. There's obviously a lot going on in a city like St. Paul, but you know the uptick in violence is causing a lot of people to pay attention, and it's an incredibly difficult challenge, whether you're the mayor, you're the police chief, or citizens in the area. Let me just ask it this way as I start the conversation. Why do you think the numbers have jumped of late, that in total it's 120 shot in the city this year, 21 killed, and of those 21, as you know, 8 in the last month?
Yeah, thank you for having me on, and I really appreciate the question. To your point, we have had a very unusual and unacceptable last few weeks here in St. Paul. We're working with our police chief to boost patrols and to get to the heart of that question, which is really critical. Why? And that's something I think is really critical. A couple of things. We know that the root of violence is people feeling isolated and people feeling desperate, whether that's because of their social or economic situation. And then we also know that violence acts like a public health disease, that once you have one incident of violence, it's far more likely for you to have another. And so we find ourselves stuck in cycles of violence that require us to act, to intervene and interrupt so that we can discontinue them and going back to the being the city that we know St. Paul to be.
Okay, so because you're making some good points there, because a lot of people have this twofold debate. And the debate becomes, can you do both at the same time, or do you need to concentrate your efforts one way or the other? One side will say we should emphasize more on the root cause. What is going on? What is causing these individuals, whether early in their life or later in their life, to head this way where they find violence more acceptable? Or do we further emphasize we need to have greater law enforcement, we need to have more people on the streets to try to prevent this? Both ideas have merit, but if you had to concentrate your efforts a little bit more or notably more one way or the other, which way are you going?
You know, I appreciate your acknowledgement, Chad, that that's a really false question. I think that question is like asking whether we want to feed or clothe our children. We know that we have to do both at the same time. We know that we have to invest in our police department, and we are. My budget proposal in front of the council right now adds $4.5 million to their annual budget and will bring our police department to the highest number of officers we've ever employed. But we also know we have to invest in our children. We have to invest in our neighborhoods. We have to have the type of stability and supports that can be the stable, safe neighborhoods that we all aspire to building. I don't accept those as false choices. It's a both and.
So regarding on neighborhoods and getting to individuals sooner, or even getting to them if they're, you know, 22, 32, 42, whatever it might be, what specific role can the mayor play in that area?
You know, I think there's a role for all of us to play in that area. You know, we've spent a lot of time over the last, you know, century really developing the role of a police department and understanding our role as neighbors, that when we see something, we need to say something. And those things help us, particularly in the area of getting someone there immediately after something bad has happened. We've developed what we call our community first safety framework, which really centers around three core pillars of public safety that says, let's get out of the the mode of responding fast after something has happened and start getting into the mode of saying, how do we reduce the likelihood that something bad will happen in the first place? It's based on three research-based core pillars. The first is that people who trust that law enforcement systems and personnel will treat them fairly are more likely to obey the law, they're more likely to call 911 in an emergency, and they're more likely to help with an investigation. The second is that people who are connected to community and opportunity are less likely to become either an offender or a victim. That's why some of our economic efforts, like raising the minimum wage and creating an Office of Financial Empowerment, are absolutely critical. And the third is that through high-quality public design, when we invest in the physical aesthetic of our spaces so that they're clean, so that they're well-lit, so that they're places that are inviting and that people want to be, that we know that those things can limit the opportunities for crime in the first place as well.
The mayor of St. Paul, Melvin Carter, is with us. It's 114 on CCO. I know at one point you were talking about up to 9 more officers. It's been pulled back to 4, but it's still a dramatic increase in money. Between $4 and $5 million. With this going on, with the fatalities, are you worried it sends the wrong message to the citizens that the one number of 9 officers is now down to 4?
You know what, Chad, I appreciate the distinction. There are folks who have kind of echoed some deceptive talking points that we're cutting officers. The truth is we're raising officers. It's not a question of whether we're going to decrease or increase. It's a question of how much we're going to increase. Either way, we're going to have the largest sworn strength in our city's history. You know, over these past few weeks, I've spent far too much time with families who are in mourning and neighbors who are in shock because some tragic incident happened on their block. When I talk to them, what they look at me and say is, we got to do something different. We need a new approach. They say that over and over and over again. I, as the mayor here, we have to do something different. We need a new approach. Just hiring more police officers is important for our community, but just doing that alone would not be a new approach. It would literally be more of the same. And that's the urgency, that's the public call that we're responding to. So no, I don't think it sends the wrong message. I actually think it's exactly what our city deserves and what I hear in every single neighborhood.
This is another debate that comes up a lot, that police departments and their makeup, male, female, racial makeup, at times religious makeup, should match the city that they are representing, the city where they work. Where's St. Paul? Where's the police force in relation to the city in that area, in your view?
You know, that's an important goal for us, and it's not just about what the photograph looks like when we take our kind of department photo. Our St. Paul police officers, our firefighters, are called to respond in some of our most tragic situations, and their ability to help us solve what's right in community in a moment's notice is absolutely critical for our lives, for our health, for our safety. And we believe wholeheartedly that when they show up knowing what's right, when they show up knowing what this house or this block should smell like, what it should look like, and how it should feel, that we're all better off because they're more capable, they're more able to help us respond in an instant. We are continuing to build that way. Our chief has, I think, done an incredible job of recruiting diverse candidates, women, people of color, new Americans to our department. We're actually poised right now to have the most diverse police academy in our department's history. We're very proud of that.
Melvin, I want to have you on another time. I want to talk to you about a variety of issues, not just violence. So I hope we can do it again. But I just want to finish with this. Are you still comfortable when you initially saw the video of how the officer handled when the individual came at him and eventually he shot him? We obviously had debate on that. I think a lot of us who saw it were uncertain what it would be and felt like under those circumstances, I'll just say I felt like the officer comported himself in the right way. There's a split in the city. It seems like from my read of your comments that you thought the officer handled it appropriately.
If the question is, am I comfortable with that? No, and none of us should be. You know, that's
probably the wrong word by me. You know, yeah. In fact, definitely the word was.
And I understand what you're saying. I mean, you know, it's something I think we all look at and say that was an avoidable tragedy. That's something that never should have happened. I've shared far and wide that my father is someone who served our city for nearly 30 years as a St. Paul police officer, and as someone who grew up praying for the health and safety of our city and our officers every day. It's difficult for me to look at that and tell you what I think that officer should have done better or should have done differently. You know, and the truth is,
do you think it was appropriate under those circumstances?
You know, and again, I've never stood in those shoes, you know, and, you know, the legal questions have to be answered by the BCA, have to be answered by our county attorney. What I can tell you is I don't have anything to point to that I could say that I think that officer should have done differently. I think some of our community advocates are pointing to very accurately a history of trauma, a history of pain that has for too long defined the relationship, particularly between communities of color and our law enforcement across our country. That is a reality and a sentiment that we have to continue to address and continue to prove every single day, just like with any other relationship.
Sure.
We have to prove every other day that we are building, constantly building trust, that we're constantly building our rapport, and that we are constantly eliminating the false divide that exists between the safety of our neighbors and the safety of our officers.
Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me on.
The Mayor of St. Paul, Melvin Carter, on CCO. Another conversation that I think was well worth listening to, which would have caused all of us to be fired instantly. Especially Dan,
I'm
going to
say me first, apparently.
Exactly.
I'm paying.
Especially Dan. Yes, Shaletta is here. By the way, where's Carter?
I don't know.
Wow.
Where is he?
Well, he was here all first hour, Dan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was.
Well,
yeah.
No, not the entire. He left during my father's interview.
That's true.
But then he came back.
He came back. Yeah.
So why is he not here? Because he always here for me. What?
You know what he's doing, don't you?
Snitching.
I don't know where, but he's snitching somewhere.
On somebody, like they all in the room. Nobody can see me go and tell it.
That's true.
Whistleblower. Whistleblower.
We're exactly. I did ask him in the interview. I should have worked that in. Yeah, we did the preview show. Gosh. I did ask him, "Are you the whistleblower?" I should have said, "You know, Shaletta calls you the snitch."
Yeah.
What is the difference between snitch and whistleblower?
I don't think that is in it. I'm sure Dan would know because he knows how to roll toilet paper and the proper use of toilet paper.
Oh, that's right.
He knows
yeah.
the schematics what was
the
of the
schematics
of
right.
toilet paper. Yeah.
Remember he went to it, he had like a chart for us, like
Mr.
Toilet Paper.
Well, because you didn't believe me that when I was telling you that was the schematic.
The way
that it was invented, this is how it was designed
well, they were
to
wrong.
Work.
Shaletta and I established
the person
they
that
were
invented
wrong.
It was wrong, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I mean, they had good intentions, but they were wrong.
Designed to operate in a certain... Why don't you go tell Henry Ford he was wrong in how he built the car? Why don't you go do that?
Have we improved the car since Henry Ford was around?
Sure, but it only to make it fast. It still functions in the same way.
Better.
Yeah. Right.
Better, just like the toilet paper.
They didn't turn it 180 degrees and say, drive backwards, it's better.
Let's go again through the... Because this... You know, a lot of polling will say we're not an exact science.
Right.
We're just going to say we are an exact
science.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Which way is the better way for your toilet paper to go under, and I'll just let you know, among the people who like it under, Adolf Hitler and ISIS Cook.
No. You're right. No, the people that like it under are all those evil people. You're correct. No, because over the top is the correct way to go. You just messed up and did it backwards. Nice job.
It's Friday.
Over the top is the correct way to go.
No, it's not.
Yes.
Under.
Under.
Yeah, I screwed up.
I don't know.
Under.
You just compared yourself to Hitler and ISIS and all those people.
I know.
Way to go.
I screwed up, you know.
That's usually what the people who used to work with say. So.
First mistake I made, and it's September 27. Not a bad run.
Who had the pool?
Not a bad run. What has been going on with you? I'm so used to seeing you, and now I see you.
Once a week.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a foster care relationship.
Wait.
It's like big brothers, big sisters.
Am I the kid or are you the kid?
You know what? I think we're both the kids and Dan's the dad.
Yeah.
That's how I think it's going to work around.
What's going on?
I am just livid. I am upset.
Oh, let's go. What are you livid about?
This little young black 12-year-old girl at the Christian school who had these three white kids hold her down and cut her hair.
This is
the same school that Mike Pence's wife taught at for 12
Karen?
Years. Yes. Yes.
So I saw it. I read a fair amount of it. Update me on what punishment these kids are facing.
They're investigating. And do you know one of the parents who has a kid who goes to school there says, well, is there any video? What? You got three kids. One of them is holding this girl down. The other one is holding his hand over her mouth. The other one is cutting her hair. And the whole time they're doing it, they're calling her dirty and nappy-headed. On the playground at the Christian school.
Where was security at this point? Where was a teacher?
Where was anybody?
How old were they again?
12.
Okay, so they're what, 6th grade, 5th grade?
Yeah.
Do most 5th and 6th graders who see this, will they jump in?
I would hope so.
What do you think, Dan? What percentage of fifth and sixth graders, if they see this, a child is being abused?
Mm-hmm.
She's upset. She's trying to scream, but they're preventing her.
Yeah.
Okay. What percentage, and we're obviously speculating, of kids are going to come in and say, nope, that's it. I'm stepping in. I'm tackling. I'm going to a teacher. I think it's lower than we want it to be.
Yeah, it's much lower than we want it to be.
It's scary.
At that age, I think at that age, to a degree, there's just some confusion about what exactly is happening. Are they playing? Are they roughhousing? What's going on?
Yeah.
Well, these kids were known for bullying. Like, she had reported them before, and apparently she had not told her parents for a couple of days because she was just so traumatized, and they noticed that her hair was cut in the back. And so when they asked her about it, that's when she started crying and telling them what happened. I mean, what are you learning at home that at 12 years old you want to attack somebody because they look different?
Well, here's what I'll say about learning at home. I think there are times where we have kids who turn out to be amazing children and their parents are just screw-ups.
Not as true.
And then we have the exact opposite. I absolutely want to know what's going on at home, but I'll say this. If there's any pattern with these children, and then this happened again, these children need to be dismissed from this school.
Oh, yeah, forever.
You cannot do this if you've had a pattern. You have to go bye-bye.
You got to go bye-bye. You cannot come back. No expel, and then they come back next year. No nothing. This is terrorism. I have a young black daughter, and she has twists. And if my child came home and told me that three boys held her down and cut her hair while they insulted her, I would be doing this show live from jail, and my husband would be in the cell next to me.
Yeah. Oh, I would not handle it well. I would be at the school, and I would be asking for resolution
now.
5 minutes ago.
Yeah, yeah.
5 minutes ago.
Don't tell me nothing about no video. I don't want to hear about your investigation. My child's hair is missing. They said they did it. And Dan, this is the thing. I was the crazy friend, but there was always one
Hello.
There was always one friend in my group who was like, this is a bad idea. How is it, Dan, that nobody in this group thought, dudes, this is bad. We probably shouldn't do this. We're going to get in trouble.
Exactly. And the texter says, unfortunately, kids are told to mind their own business. Well, in this case, I would hope they'd step forward. Maybe I'm asking too much for a 12-year-old. I don't think so. All right, so I saw this with Adam Carter in the Facebook. By the way, we've got the preview show. We'd like you, Shalette.
Okay, what is that all about? I saw that. What is that all about?
So we started this, what would you say, 5-6 years ago, and we do it, and then we get bored, and then we do it. We get
won a
bored.
Couple Emmys.
Yeah. I won a Nobel Peace Prize for it.
That's what I heard.
Don't like to brag. Mm-hmm. But we're going forward with it. We'd like you to be a part of the previous show.
Okay, you still ain't told me what it is.
Okay, so you'll be in here Tuesday for the Heppel Experience. You come in about 10:30,
yeah,
right?
I come in for 17 seconds. That's all.
Okay, that's what Corey gives you.
Yeah, 17
right?
seconds.
So then after, we'll do it, and then we kind of, we talk, we preview the show a little bit, and then we just talk
highly
nonsense.
Highly scripted out.
Oh, yeah, it's very planned.
Oh, shot very professionally.
High production crew.
Multiple
lighting,
shots.
Why are you knocking the shooting?
I'm not knocking it. I'm saying.
Come on.
I think
it's
he was
not the
knocking.
Person, it's the equipment.
Sounded like
I think
it.
He was knocking the producer and the director. I think so.
Wow.
So Tuesday, we'd like to pencil you in to be part of the preview show.
All right, put me down.
Well, I'm out.
Whoa. One.
Snitching.
Whoa.
You know.
We need to go to a double camera, like the two of us will be talking, and then we'll show Adam upstairs with Shannon going, it was better with me.
Yes.
And let me tell you, neither one likes puppies. Yeah. You know, or just something really evil. So again, check it out, facebook.com/Chad Hartman Show. But I'm going to the Facebook today, and I see Adam Carter or something up there called HOCO. HOCO. Now.
How you spelling that?
HOCO. Now, two things here. Remember, we're on the radio. Okay, this isn't the four
I've
of us.
Thought about
this
what that
isn't
might mean.
The four of us.
Baby, it's about to get real.
The four of us normally talk off air where there's a lot of head bobbing and finger. Right?
Okay.
What is your guess, the phrase HOCO? What do you think it means? We're on the radio. Dan, remember we might have went to the button earlier. This time we can't
now
go to the,
can do it this
we
time?
Can't
okay.
go to the button soon enough.
Something about hoes and cocoa. Hoes and hot chocolate. I have that
video.
I used to own that video.
I got to be honest. Hose and hot chocolate
hose
is not a
chocolate.
Bad
candle. No, it's getting cold outside.
I really need something to snuggle up to.
Hose want to be warm, too.
Overrated, underrated, properly rated. Hose and hot chocolate. Carter, I'm saying properly rated. Carter,
that's
where are you
better
at?
Better than what it actually means.
If you didn't know, Dan, do you know Dan Cook? Did you see it?
I was starting to Google it.
Oh.
I would have no idea.
Hoco. Were you also going to say hose and hot chocolate?
I was not. No, that would not have been where I would have gone with it. But.
Okay. Hard to believe that your mindset
Swiss Miss.
Gillette's aren't the same.
Yeah, you would think that Gillette and I would be.
We're usually right in tune.
Oh, in sync. Mm. Adam, explain to everybody what Hoco is.
Hoco, the kids now, that's what they call homecoming.
Oh.
The abbreviated homecoming.
I had never heard of it either until I saw that Adam had it up there.
Well, I saw it over the last couple of weeks. Obviously, it's homecoming season, and so a lot of people on Facebook talking about, going to. And I've seen now, you know, the kids with the homecoming dances, their unique ways to ask another boy or another girl to the homecoming dance. And it's with the Hoco.
Hoco.
Is it hyphenated or is just
and it's just H O C O. Hoco.
Yeah.
Okay, lowercase. Just it doesn't matter.
I think it's just one H, right?
Yes.
Or do we do H O and then capitalize the C?
I think it's whatever, however you're feeling.
Which way would you?
The Urban Dictionary says capitalize.
Oh Lord,
the C.
Here he come with the specs again.
just what
again,
it says.
I know. Again. Nobody has the pulse of the Urban Dictionary better than
I'm paying,
I mean, when you think of Urban Dictionary, you think of the sweetest, kindest guy we all know, Dan Cook.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the dissonance.
Yeah,
here. I know
exactly.
What's the problem?
Exactly.
I don't know why Shaletta is peeing again.
Yeah.
I didn't bring my poise back.
Yeah, exactly.
Poise.
Do we approve of Hoco? Because I'm going to say right now, I don't approve.
I don't either. What's
don't
so tough?
Like
what's so tough about saying homecoming? Why do you got to shorten?
That's the thing,
it?
Though. If you don't approve, aren't you just the stay off my lawn guy?
I guess it's not that hard to say homecoming, though. If it was like 17 words and you were going to Hoco, and first of all, I'd rather go to the Hose and Swiss Miss event myself.
What you do on the weekends is none
Carter,
of our business.
If you can go to homecoming,
know you like chocolate. We certainly know you like the other one too.
Exactly.
Also, I've been informed
that
I want to know, is it that South St. Paul, where I'm referring to.
The Packers. Who do you have tonight?
Tartan, the Titans.
Is this a typical matchup?
Pack started out 0-2.
Ooh.
Disappointing start to the season. Have climbed back to 2-2.
Oh, okay.
How about Tartan?
No clue.
Typical reporter.
But they don't have a homecoming king or queen anymore. I don't know.
Are we because we're offending somebody?
Is that what it is?
Oh my God! No,
it's got to be that, right?
Is this a thing in a lot of school districts?
Please text me 651-989-9226 or call and let us know. Are we eliminating the king and queen because we don't want to upset somebody's precious feelings? Because you know they vote, right? The four of us are up there, and the winner is Adam Carter, and then I go off and I'm sobbing, you know, and I'm devastated.
For the rest of your life,
I'm never the same.
Oh, my God.
There was
life
controversy
is about
when I was up.
What?
Yeah, when I was up for homecoming king my senior year.
Hold on a second. let me just get
baby,
here.
Get a button or something. Dan, somebody.
The rumor drawer. The rumor was that I actually tied with another individual and that.
Okay, this sounds like
they gave it to the runner-up.
Stop for a second.
Okay,
stop it. This is so Trump-like. This is Trump-like. People are talking. I'm hearing people saying it.
People believe me.
Cook, do you believe there's any chance there was a rumor whatsoever in South St. Paul that there was Putin involved too? Was there a dossier?
I do believe there was a rumor, and I believe Adam started it.
People tell me this. You know, it was my spokesman John Miller was on the phone. He called in and said, "Look, give it to the other guy."
That is so good. There's a rumor, and are you over it yet?
I got to be honest,
I'm
not.
Hurt.
I'm
still
talking
about it.
Oh my!
And look, life is all about winners and losers. You got to learn early in life that sometimes you are going to win and sometimes you are going to lose.
Well, guess what? Dave Harrigan has just chimed in. Tartan is 4-0. Apparently, the Packers are going to lose tonight.
Oh, yeah,
thank you, Dave.
A little side action.
Yeah, let's bet on that. I'm taking Tartan.
Betting on a high school.
Football. Yeah, what do you want? How much? How much you want
to
put down?
Close to the bottom.
I was going
to
say, you can't bet on that.
$10.
I want my pack.
Dan, stop them. They are betting on a high school football game. Stop them.
Well, okay. They're led by Jimmy Francis. He is the leader of the city. How in the heck is this team even 2-2? I would have expected 0-2. Tartan's nickname?
Titans.
The Titans. Double T.
Yeah.
Come on. Who are you picking? Double T or Hoco?
I'm going with the Hocos, man.
Packers.
I'm going with the Hocos.
Go Pack, go.
Cook, who are you with? Double T or Hocos?
Oh, I'm a Tartan guy all the way.
Thank you. I bet a Tartan they pick
front
a homecoming king and queen. Don't you think?
I hope so. I hope we haven't gotten to that point where everybody's a queen, everybody get to wear a crown. No! The most popular, prettiest girl get to wear a crown. The rest of you ugly heifers get to decide. That's how life works. You have to tell people early when they're ugly. You can't just let a good-looking... What? What did I tell my daughter to tell you, Chad?
I'm going to call 20 here. In case you missed that, she said you ugly-ass heifers have to get off to the side.
I didn't say ass. I said you ugly heifers need to get to
the side. I think there might have been ASS in there.
I don't think so.
I need to hover over the button again.
I think you added that. No.
Did I add that?
I think he added that. Yeah, he did.
Whoa.
But you got to let folks know.
You got to let...
You can't walk around thinking you're a queen.
So even in high school, you have to say you're not attractive?
You have to say, hey, girl, hey. Get your ugly butt off the stage and let the pretty girl up here so she can get her... She can get a crown.
The ugly butt heifers. I don't have anything else to say. Let's just pause. Okay, we have complete confirmation that I'm on Team Tartan. Again, South St. Paul, they don't want to offend anybody, so they don't have a homecoming king or queen. Tartan, my new school, they have a king and queen. Thank you, Tartan. Titans, let's go.
The gritty North Metro.
4-0, they get it done.
Okay, Adam, I'm sorry. I was trying to roll with you, but I got to go over here where the homecoming king is.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
Sorry. I was trying to roll.
There was a study here that I saw behind card on one of the TVs. Exercise overload can lead to bad decisions. In other words, don't exercise.
No.
Don't exercise. That will lead to bad decisions. When you think of when you're exercising more, does that lead to bad decisions?
Yeah, because I'm mad and cranky and I'm fussing at folks.
That's a good point, Carter. Now, you're fairly... Are you still working out a fair amount
in
the morning?
Yeah, but I feel better after I work out.
I do, too.
I don't get to that point because I don't work out.
When's the last time you worked out?
Oh, my God. There was a 2 in the front of the number of my age. And I'm 47.
Really?
Yes!
She's got kids.
I hate working out. And I got kids. Yeah, that's it. I got kids.
So if let's say there was dinner involved, and you and Henry Lake could get dinner wherever you wanted, but you had to go exercise for an hour, 1 hour, vigorous.
Where would the dinner be? Would it be at a really nice place, like really expensive?
McDonald's.
Uh-huh.
No. A nice restaurant of both of yours, right? You get to pick. And you have to vigorously work out for an hour. What are you doing?
Babe, we're going to eat at home. I ain't going to lie to you. I'm cooking. There's a skillet coming out of the cabinet. I'm not doing it.
You will not work out?
I hate working out.
Why?
Because I don't like sweating. I don't like all that exercise. I don't know.
Yeah, you would have to touch equipment.
And thank you.
Oh, my God. Imagine her in a gym where people are sweating.
How many gloves would you have to?
And then they got the mask. I want to get down on the floor and do...
Would you have to be in there in a complete body glove?
Yeah. In fact, I'll just do it outside from my... Could you just send me the video, closed circuit, and I'll do it from the house. I'm not getting on that
floor. That's the thing, because, you know, you could go online and you could do it right there.
And I hate exercise.
You hate exercise?
I hate it. I hate it. Just thinking about getting ready to go to the gym makes me angry.
Wow. I don't think we're getting her to move on this one, Carter. Do you think so? Are you sensing any flexibility on this one?
No.
All right.
None.
Where do we stand on this one? Crying babies. Okay. When you get on a flight, because you travel a lot, you know, you live a life that's more luxurious than the three of us. You get on a flight, it's just you and H. Lake again, and you come up upon your seats, and there's a crying baby right next door, right? The seat right next to you. What's your initial reaction?
If it's not my baby, I'm like, get rid of that crying baby.
Get rid of it. Carter, you and the lobster are on the flight. You're going to Vegas. Oh, we need to point out, by the way, who's dancing tonight?
Oh, my youngest, Sydney, Lucille. There's a halftime. I'm sure the pack will be up heavy on the Titans. So at the halftime dance, she'll be dancing with a bunch of kids.
So Siggy will be out there.
Go girl.
To try to boost the spirits when they're down like 28-0. So in other words, instead of here comes the homecoming king and queen, we're going to have some young, attractive, lovable girls dance.
And boys.
And boys. Okay, fine. Should be the homecoming king and queen first and then the dance, but I'm sure Siggy will be fantastic. You're not happy, right, if you see the crying baby?
Not happy, but again, we've talked about this before, is that if the parents are trying.
Yeah.
If they're not trying, then yes, I'm getting irritated. But, you know, sometimes I feel bad for the parents.
What if they said they come back and they go, hey, I just want to let you guys know there's one seat. One of you can move. So you and Jen are together. There's a seat about 15 rows away. There's not a crying baby. Not a crying baby. One of you gets to get up and leave the crying baby. Just admit it. You're out of there, and you're going to leave Jen there.
No.
Yeah, he is.
I have noise-canceling headphones.
Oh.
Oh. Come on.
Well,
yeah, hit something.
Okay,
something.
First of all, he'd be in first class,
right?
I mean, who am I?
He's not driving the plane. He's not flying the plane.
Exactly. Hold on a second. He's on his own plane. Okay, so why am I even bringing this up as a hypothetical?
The Adam Carter Express jet.
And Jen says, you can go take that seat. You can go take that seat. Are you taking that seat?
If she lets me, yeah, but I...
Or are you worried this is a setup that she's testing you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She's testing you.
I can't believe, look at him getting up to go get in that seat. He left me here with this crying baby. Look at him.
No, because I know her tone. No, it's okay. It's okay.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
We all know that one.
Yeah. Oh, you know that.
It's okay?
Yeah, I know.
Go ahead, do it.
Here's what I
do. I'm fine.
Yeah, I'll stay here with the crying baby.
Really short. Yeah, I'm fine. He'd go, yeah, but don't talk to me. I got my noise canceling. You take him off. He go, excuse me? Excuse me? Okay, so we're bringing this up because Japan Airlines is featuring a booking process that indicates where young children are seated on the flights when passengers travel with a child less than 2 years old and select their seats. A child icon will appear on those seats when others get to select their seats.
That is discrimination. For somebody who's traveling with kids, that's discrimination. How you going to point me out and single me out because I got a baby?
But here's the thing. It's a benefit to everybody if they're open seats because if you got a crying baby, you don't want anybody sitting next to you. You want the space. And then if it's Adam and he doesn't want the crying baby near him, he can select the seat.
Well,
seven rows away.
What's next? The angry black woman? There's an angry black woman sitting in 17C. Don't go near her because she's going to be fussing and talking trash. What's next?
Wait, you don't know that those are available already?
I'd fake like I had a kid. You know, I got a kid
exactly.
Who's got a cold. Suddenly you got a whole row to yourself.
Yeah. And by the way, I just want to let you know also I'm oozing pus. Right? What do you think of that one, Cook? I mean, you want room on the plane.
I mean, they're playing at the Armory this weekend. Oozing pus.
Yeah, I mean, you want space. I got an awful cough.
Oh, my God. Y'all are out of control.
Oh, like you wouldn't want to do this yourself.
Oh, my God.
How do you fly, by the way? People have sat in their seat. What do you do to get
the seat prepared? Okay, you don't know, Kat,
the
words are now. We have a whole routine where we bring our Lysol wipes and spray.
I don't think that's enough for you on a plane.
And I put a little something down. I didn't want
to. She's got a blanket. She's got an entire process. Always love when you're here.
Thank you for having me, fellas.
All right, Two Hot Mamas Podcast. It is fabulous. It is a must-listen. Radio.com. More on impeachment in 30 minutes. A guest who's lived this experience. That's coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.